Hello and welcome everybody to Around the Battleground. My name is LHS and I am your host as always. Today, I am not joined by anybody. Couldn't get a co-host to fill in. I think honestly at this point, I'm going to stop looking for that. It's just me. This is the LHS show. I like having the big talking head. I am the Jim Rome of Smite. Couldn't get an interview this week just because everything's crazy. I am looking at a few people. Looking at a player or players from Dignitas, but they're still trying to get settled into their team house. They've got stuff going on there. I'm looking at... I couldn't believe it. I was going into DMs and I was like, okay, hey, I have Neil. Me and Neil are good buds. I'll reach out to him. I had never DM'd Neil before today. And that was a travesty. So I'm trying to get stuff set up with him and then Emilzy as well. He's been on the show a bunch. So trying to get who I can. It's hard because, I'm trying to figure who on each team I can really talk to. So I look at SK, right? Who do I have a relationships with? Who is the go-getter? Is it Belair? Is it Scary? No, probably not. Sam, I've reached out to him. He doesn't want to talk. Paul, probably, but I don't have that relationship. Neil, right? So perfect. You look at Trifecta, right? Weaken. Immediately, he's my guy. And then you look across other teams. I look at Pittsburgh Knights. The only one I have on there, Deathwalker, no. Adapting, no. Still blocked from him. Zeros, no. Emilzy, I've had him on. We've talked a lot. Cool. Rival, fine, okay. But I also want to break out from that, too. That's the thing that I kind of get stuck in these ruts where, like, oh, I've talked to all the guys that I kind of know and want to talk to. So I got to break out of that and start bringing new people. I'm hoping now that everybody's kind of like centrally located and they're like the content push and team house content and stuff. Hopefully be able to try to get some new people that we haven't talked to before for this season and split and everything. But who knows? I'll keep you posted. I'm still waiting for everybody to get to Atlanta to even try to ask, and that's a big thing too, is at the start of the season it's still a little bit like I don't want to be that annoying guy, like they're still getting settled in, they're still learning everything, they're still getting into their grooves, so I don't want to start hounding people and like try to get them onto the show. It's like, okay, I'll take it easy on them for this first phase a little bit, let them get like a month or two under their belts before I really try to start hounding people. And then I've still got some connections at high res with the casters and stuff. So maybe we'll go back to the well and try to get Tom. And I really want to get Taco on at this point. I miss talking to her. I think we had a decent exchange, decent chemistry when we worked on the desk together. I really liked our back and forth. So I'd like to get her on and talk to SBL with her. And then obviously Tom and Hindu. And, if I could get Aggro and those guys too. I haven't talked to Aggro on the show yet. Finch we've had, and then Tolly too would be a new one, so maybe try to reach out to those guys. But that's kind of more meta show, the show behind the show. I want to be open and transparent with you guys, like, because I realize that I can talk about a lot of things and I'm cool and interesting and hip and with it, but you guys are largely here for talking to the players or coaches and getting like that kind of point of view. So I get it. So I want you guys to know I am working on trying to get all these things in the behind the scenes and get these things going. So we'll move on from there. We'll talk about this week's SML. Let's go look at the standings we've had. Let's start with EU SML. That this week was Flashpoint still at the top. Simplicity gets that number two spot. Queso and Out Cold rounding at the bottom. Not sure what to say. Out Cold, this was their week. We talked to Alpha Jackal last episode, right? Out Cold is in that position where they really need to capitalize. If they they're at that moment where if they keep losing, they're not going to be able to turn around. And so they had the best draft that I've seen in competitive play so far, I feel like. And they were not able. I tweeted out at the time, if Out Cold Gaming doesn't win with this draft, they're not going to win anything at all. Sure enough, they lost with that draft and then didn't win. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Out Cold. I don't know if there's just an apathy. There's a lack of heart and effort. It's really hard to say that about those players. You know, Pretty Prime, he was one of the best mids in the world last year and has really given it his all the time. But now this in the SML, is he doing that? You know, Demi, is he in the same boat? It's really hard to say. And I don't know what the problem is with the squad. Something's off. This feels very much like me. I said it last week to Alpha Jackal that they feel like CLG, where from last year, where something isn't right. They should be winning games and they're not, and they're just not on the same page. They don't look great. So I want to see some changes. I don't know. It's hard to say what you do. Who do you get? How do you replace? What ADC do you try to get? Because I think definitely there are points to look at. I think Frostyac has regressed from last year. What jungle do you get to replace him? It's not like it's the biggest field for EU junglers in the SML. I mean, you can't poach from another team, right? I don't know. It's hard to say. Unless they do like a trade, but even then, I don't think anybody would do it. It's rough. I don't know that I believe Out Cold can put it together. What if, like, I mean, we're approaching the point where Out Cold might not win that second game, and if they don't, they're out. So we might be in a point where Out Cold gets relegated, and this coming off the fact that like EU Combine has had like two teams show up. So it blows my mind. I don't think anybody really could have foresaw that Out Cold was going to underperform this bad. I mean, we all talk about SSG Gold and how bad they are, but I don't think anybody foresaw that EU would be in the same boat. Out Cold has just looked bad, looked sloppy. They just haven't been able to put it together. On the opposite end with EU, sticking in that region, Flashpoint has looked amazing. They started off strong and then have really been able to like keep that momentum going. I've been really impressed with their play. I think Sibby has really stepped up in the solo lane. Johnny has continued to grow as a jungler, and everybody else, like, that team is working as a unit, working really, really well, and I think they might be my favorite. I really legitimately can't wait to see Flashpoint versus Armada when we eventually get that. That looks like it'll be a great match. I want to see this EU SML team get their shot to really go up against a team that could be in the SPL. And could this Flashpoint team also be in the SPL? I don't know. It'd be really interesting. I can't wait. But, you know, Queso in the middle there, they looked like they had some life. They tried some fancy things. This week didn't work. Simplicity, they did what they needed to do. They came out, had some momentum, and was able to put Queso down, won their game. And I mean, what else can you say? Maniac looked really good. Simplicity looks like they're on the same page now. We could see them try to make a run for the top. But I think Flashpoint is just the best team in EU SML right now, and I would be surprised if they really fall from grace. I mean, that is kind of Flashpoint's MO, though. We got to keep that in mind, that they have in the past tripped up and right at the finish line not been able to really pull it out. So hopefully they kind of break that curse on themselves. Going over across the pond into the NA SML scene, it's a kind of a different story. I mean, kind of a different story, but kind of not. I mean, at the top of NASML, you still have Armada, which hasn't dropped a game yet. Very dominant. And then at the bottom, you have another team who just can't get it done. Cryptic and Sanguine kind of fighting each other. Cryptic got the free win this week because Space Station couldn't play. Two of their players got Comcasted, which, you know, meant their internet didn't work. And then Sanguine went up against Armada and had some life. But Sanguine's a young team for competitive play, and they just couldn't get it going. they lost against Armada. I thought they might. I didn't particularly think they had a strong chance going into this game, but they didn't look like they absolutely didn't belong, but they just got outclassed. And I think Armada's going to do that to everybody. I don't think Cryptic's going to stand a chance. I think Sanguine's going to beat SSG Gold. Between Cryptic and Sanguine, I don't know which team's going to win out between those two. I would love it to be Sanguine, but I just don't know if that'll be the play. But in ASML is in ASML. It's not really anything big to talk about yet. So we're going to go into last week's SPL. We covered, what was it, the Dignitas versus Rival to start last week, and that was a great set. Dignitas 3-2's Rival. Dignitas is the best team in the world. But what we didn't talk about was Rival and Pittsburgh Knights and Trifecta SK. SK beating Trifecta 3-0 and Rival beating Pittsburgh Knights 3-2. I'm really, really excited about the SPL at the top this year. Dignitas, Rival, Knights all look super strong, and we haven't even seen Splice play yet. You know, the world champs, I can't wait to see what we're going to get. You know, with Rival and the Knights, you know, going into this, I was hopeful that the Rival squad was going to give Knights a run for their money. I was hoping, you know, we had Dignitas beat Rival, but then we have Knights beat Rival? Like, who... We have Dignitas at the top, right? They've beaten both Knights and Rival at this point. But now we have this kind of nebulous situation. It's like, okay, who's number two? Is it going to be Knights or is it Rival? We got our answer. It's Rival. But I don't know if we play these games 10 times out, 10 times out of 10, is it going to be Dignitas? More often than not, who's going to end up? And I think it's really too early to call. Outside of Dignitas, I think Dignitas really is something else. I think they are above the pack right now. I think they are the number one team, and I think it's pretty easy to say that at this point. But Pittsburgh Knights and Rival are right there. There, if Dignitas is a head above, I mean, Rival and Knights are right there at the shoulders, like trying to get up and finish up, just nailing things down and really tightening up their squad and team play. But we talked about the Knights and how they have this instant death random chance anytime you play them. And, you know, we kind of saw that a little bit. Let's look down at what the game times were for that set. So game one, Knights won at 31 minutes. Game two, Rival won at 39 minutes. Game three, Pittsburgh Knights won at 25 minutes. Game four, Rival won at 26 minutes. And then game five, Rival won in 25 minutes. So it's these two teams are pretty evenly matched in that category of, like, if you do something wrong, they will punish you and they will make sure it counts. They don't let you get away with a mistake, right? And that's a big thing on both sides. Like, usually the Knights don't really have anybody that can punish as well as they can in that regard. But I think Dignitas and Rival this year both have shown, hey, we're just as capable at punishing off of mistakes as you are. And the Knight squad is still working it out, trying to figure out how to mesh everybody together. You look at that last game, Adapting went 0-5-1 on the circuit. That's a rough day. I can't remember the last time that Adapting had a game that bad. Is that one of the worst games that Adapting's ever had? I really genuinely don't. After this show, I'm going to at SNK because he'll know. He's the stats guy. He's got to know. But that's crazy. 0-5 for Adapting. That's crazy. And then on the other side, you look at Rival. Fine OK was able to manhandle Deathwalker. I haven't seen a soul laner able to stand toe-to-toe with Deathwalker in a while like that. I mean, I've talked about how Belair was able to stand up to Deathwalker, but this was something different. Maybe, you know, now that I'm saying that, has Deathwalker kind of lost a step now that he's playing on land with all these other soul laners? Is the gap in the soul lane as smaller than what we anticipated. It'll be really interesting to see the longer this split goes. I'm excited to see if these other solo laners have something more to show. But Deathwalker just seems to not be where he used to be. And I wonder if that is because him and Adapting aren't on the same page. You look at what Death and Ice used to be able to do. They played very tightly together. And Adapting doesn't really do that at this stage. And I wonder if that's something that they will address. I don't know. It's one of the things, like, we talked and joked about, like, the Baskin tax, where he eats up all the XP and everything goes through him and you play through Baskin. Well, Adapting kind of the same thing, where you play through Adapting and, you know, he's eating up all the XP that he can and you're looking for him to make plays. I don't know that Adapting will make a switch to have a more setup-oriented style of play. Like, I think you put Captain Twig with Deathwalker, and that's an amazing duo right there. That's an amazing solo jungle combination. Just look at Captain Twig and Final K, right? Like, that's essentially the same thing you would get with Captain Twig Deathwalker, I feel like. And we're seeing, you know, the results on this side. Final K's playing out of his mind. I think could be the best solo laner in the world. I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of clash with Deathwalker more again, and then clash with Variety again. It'll be really good. Pittsburgh Knights rival definitely lived up to its hype, and I'm really excited for that. But I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say that rival don't win this 9 out of 10 times, right? Because of how they dominated the last two games. Like, that was a very dominant performance. But I don't know. I can't wait. I think right now I would say probably Dignitas rival Knights, and I think it's a really hard group to break into, and it's a hard group to really expect to stay 1-2-3. I think that's a very fluid group of teams that can take games off of each other. What Obey, NRG, Dig, and Rival kind of used to be back in last year before that, right? So that's the Pittsburgh Knights and the Rival squad. After that, we had Trifecta and SK. Trifecta predicted to be one of the bottom teams and comes out and gets 3-0'd by SK. SK showed that the first week was kind of, you know, a fluke, that they weren't just going to roll over and, you know, they weren't just going to lose, right? They weren't going to throw games. They win game one in 22 minutes. They win game two in 24 minutes. And they win game three in 22 minutes. Those are very quick games. Those are very quick games for SPL. I don't know what else to say. Like, this is a team, Zatman looks to be the best that he's ever been, I think, which is really hard to say. It's so funny to see how good Zatman's doing with the struggles that Barracuda have, right? Because those two guys have been like the NA staple hunters. And everybody was calling for Zatman to be washed last year. And then he comes in this year and just starts destroying and wrecking. And I'm super excited and happy that he's kind of defied all that, right? I've been one to call for the head of Zatman, but I'm a Zap believer now. And then you got Neil, who's been playing nuts. Paul playing nuts. Paul came out this set and said, no, I know how to play mid. I know how to play the game. I'm not just going to spam Vulcan for, three games and lose them all. He spammed, Zhang Kuei two games, but then I think, what did they ban Zhang Kuei? They banned Zhang Kuei last. And he couldn't play at game two, but then they didn't ban at game three, and he went right back on it. He did play the Vulcan game two, though, went 0-0-8. I just think that's funny that he didn't get any kills on the Vulcan again. And didn't look the greatest, didn't look bad. But, SK is a very interesting squad. They are my bubble team right now. They are my dark horse. I really like them. And I can't wait to see them grow. And I hope they do grow a lot as a team over the course of this split in season and year. There's a lot of talent on this roster. Belair has really come in his own as a solo laner. Zatman is back as an ADC. Sam is a SPL jungle. He is doing his job. He is growing. And then, of course, you've got Paul. On the other side, we've got Trifecta, and I don't know what to think about Trifecta. Ducky still looking a little rough. I would have thought Ducky would have been a lot better. He played King Arthur 3 games in a row, and it just didn't work. Belair played the Kamazots and just wrecked them. Wrecked them game one, went 8-0-5. Ducky went 0-5-2. Game number two, Belair went 5-2-2. Ducky went 2-2-5. And then game number three, Ducky went 1-4-3, and Belair went 1-0-8. And there's a lot that you can read into in that. I don't like the salty runbacks. I don't think they ever work. I mean, Trifecta had an idea what they want to do, but then they just couldn't do it. They could not execute. This is a problem. And it's hard to say it's on them or anything like that, because none of these teams have had quality practice and scrims together. A lot of these teams are just getting there and have been there for a week and have maybe scrimmed on the same ping once. But I think we can look at Trifecta and go, yeah, that's about where we predicted Trifecta to be. Is that where they'll stay? I don't know. I still think that Ducky has the potential to be a really good solo laner. I think what Slaney pointed out to me, and I've seen scrims with Ducky, is that Ducky is probably one of the best rotation guys in Smite out of the solo lane. And what I mean by that is, like, he's really smart about making rotations of the team fight or making plays from solo and going to duo and going to mid and everything like that. He's got a really good sense of timing when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I think that kind of stuff is invaluable. And if Ducky kind of gets his shit figured out, I think he can be a really good and valuable solo laner, because that skill is really, it's hard to teach timing. And so I think Ducky can do that. Weekend, there's a reason Weekend is still in the SPL. As much as everyone hates on him and memes on him, there's a reason Weekend's in the SPL. I think that he problem here. And I think Lazbra is having a lot more growing pains in the mid lane than what Pandacat is, for sure. Lazbra is not quite used to the positioning, to the dance that you have to do as a mid laner in the mid lane and in fights, and he just kind of gets caught out and is in places he shouldn't be. Lazbra needs to really tighten up, and I think that'll come as he plays the role more. He's a smart player. He's a good player. He's got great mechanics. And I think the longer that he sits in that mid lane, the longer he gets to play, the more comfortable he's able to get, I think he'll start to come up. Ionic is easy to point out as needs work, right along with Jeff Hinlow, right? He went 0-6-5 on Sylvanas, 3-4-2 on the Achilles, and then 2-5-4 on the Neja. Didn't look the greatest, but he's kind of been out of competitive for a little bit, so he's got some rust to shake off, especially on LAN. Everyone's kind of playing at a higher level, so he's getting, you know, trial by fire, essentially, and I'm not ready to write him off yet. And then Wowie went 0-3-1, 0-2-4, 3-2-7. Just nobody looked great, right? And I think I'll give Trifecta the mulligan for this one, just simply because they haven't really played together, and this is their first game. SK's been there for a couple weeks. They had to play the Knights. They've got really good tape. I think that SK had a lot more going for them in this set than what Trifecta has. I would not say that 10 out of 10 times SK wins this. I think we'll see these two teams kind of move closer. Well, I think right here, if this is the benchmark, right, I think Trifecta rises to where SK is right now, but I think SK has more growth to do from here. So we'll see who's a bigger riser or anything like that as we move forward. All right, so that's last week. looking ahead, looking at today, we had, let's look at our graphic here. We had Luminosity versus E-United. E-United 3-1 Luminosity. And they started off the game. E-United lost game one with Chapo Jungle. And then as we're getting into the picks and bans of game number two, Ice Ice Baby plane landed and he was able to take over. And then E-United wins three games straight. This was an interesting set. Luminosity, another one of those teams that people had as a bottom team. E-United, a team that has a lot of... E-United is the mid-level tier version of the Knights. It's a lot of players who are coming in together that if they can work together and they can figure it out and they can all operate on the same page, they can do great things. I really believe that E-United can do some special things as a group. Benji Solo, Ice Ice Jungle, Big Man Ting's mid, Kala support, and Vedium as ADC. None of those guys are really superstars on a team. Benji, maybe, right? Benji and Kalos. I don't think Ice Ice was the superstar on the team. I don't think Kalos was the superstar on the team. Definitely had games and sets where they were MVPs for the team. But I think overall, you know, Rival was Deathwalker. Rival, I think Wolfie fell off pretty hard. It's hard to say him. Ice Ice had his moments too, but he was streaky, I felt like. Maybe Kalos. Maybe Kalos is the other guy who was a superstar. So you got Benji and maybe Kalos. I would put Kalos over Ice Ice, I think. But Vedium's been around in a while. He's the vet. Vedium the vet. I'm hilarious, I know. Big Man Tings, a lot of people weren't high him as a mid laner. I liked him as a mid laner. I think he showed a lot of promise, a lot of potential. But there's a lot of competition, a lot of stiff competition for what you can do as a mid laner, right? And so he didn't measure up to Pretty Prime. He wasn't Pretty Prime, but he had an amazing Discordia, and that told me a lot of things. So I like Big Man. And this team, before today, they hadn't played on the same ping, right? That was something that definitely happened. This was the first game they played all together on the same ping, and they were able to find their wins. They looked a little rough with Chapo, but that's to be expected. He's a sub, and when you're playing at SPL level on LAN, you know, having a sub really hurts you, which, you know, Luminosity wins game one. Luminosity on the other side, so you got Zhelia solo, Mollusk jungle, Oceans mid, Kiki support, and Joshy ADC. None of these guys are the guy. You know, Kiki has always kind of been the role player on the team. You know, Joshy is a SML guy who got called up. I think he got called up too soon, but we'll see how he progresses. Maybe he can be the next guy. Oceans, guy who's been there and hasn't been there, and then is back again. Mollusk is a pretty good guy, pretty good player, kind of good at Smite. Zhelia, a lot of people think is the reason why Obey maybe didn't win more games, but I think Zhelia is good. I think he's a good anchor out of that solo lane and allows them to do some weird stuff. Speaking of weird stuff, LG is my new favorite team. They pulled out three different starts at least. It was stuff out of my dreams. I think they found my Google Drive and started reading some of my notes and ideas. Because they definitely implemented stuff that I've been calling for about a year. But I have also been pretty public about calling for certain things. The duo starting, the solo starting a duo is something I've been calling for. And I really like the ADC starting in solo. I really liked the stuff that Luminosity did. And I liked how they experimented. And I think that'll work. They lost, yes. But I don't dislike the things they tried. And I think that those things can work. And I don't think those starts and ideas were the reason they lost. I think they were just finessed a little bit. You know, the game number one went 41 minutes. Game two went 30. Game three went 31. And game four went 27 minutes. So not super quick games, not super long games, but they were able to hold their own. I think that LG is not as much of a bottom team as people thought. As a matter of fact, I think I might put LG over SSG at this point, unless SSG can really make some changes. LG impressed me today. I really liked what they showed me. And United, I think I definitely put over SSG as well. I'm not high on SSG. I think that's really what we're learning here, is I really just don't like SSG and what they're doing right now. And I like these other teams more. But, you know, that's, I think it's just bias. I think I have to kind of like wait and take a week off from like saying what the power rankings are. But United looked pretty good. I think that they struggled in some portions, weren't on the same page. Again, these are two teams that were their first games together, and it kind of showed. It wasn't the cleanest on either side, and they should definitely get better as the season goes on. Both of these two teams are kind of nebulous for me. I don't really know where I would put them. LG didn't look awful, but United didn't look great at the same time. It's hard to say. I think these games could have gone either way. I think these guys were pretty evenly matched, which excites me because that means LG is not trash ass bags as everyone was expecting, and I like that. That means the SPL is more competitive than we originally thought, and we're not going to have like a three bottom teams potentially. I think there's I think this has potential to be like one of the most competitive Smite seasons yet. And I'm really excited about that now that we've seen United and LG go out against each other. Again, we'll have to really wait to see what they do against, you know, SK versus, you know, some of that higher competition. You know, there's still a lot of room for Trifecta, for LG, for United to all kind of peter out. We're still waiting on Renegades. We're still waiting on Splice. We're still waiting on these other teams, right? And so it's really hard to gauge. I think we have a good idea what Dignitas is, what Pittsburgh Knights are, what Rival is. They are at the top. They kind of are encapsulated in the upper echelon. Then you've got SK, and now SK is that second tier benchmark, right? How do these teams match up against SK? Trifecta, LG, United are below SK right now. Are they in the same tier? Maybe. We'll see. It'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out. But United gets the 3-1, gets the W here today, but doesn't look convincing, doesn't look very strong doing it. And I don't know. I say that as like they didn't look like it was all part of the plan. Like they planned it, like they didn't execute perfect. There's a lot of problems with their game, and they have a lot to work on moving forward. I mean, obviously LG does as well. They lost, but United, for me to get on their hype train more, I really like them. I want to put them right up there with SK, but I can't yet. I got to see more from them. So that's today's games. Looking ahead, we'll look at making some predictions here. We've got Dignitas versus LG tomorrow and United SK tomorrow. So, like I said, looking at United, can we put them in SK's category? I don't think. If I had to guess what we'd see, I think we're going to see SK over United pretty easily. I just don't think there's enough time for United to really have figured it all out, to get on the same page. I think today, you know, was trial by fire, and they'll have a lot to kind of go back and like, here's what felt right, here's what felt wrong. It'll be interesting, but I think SK is just they're hitting on all cylinders, and unless they kind of have a big regression and they don't take United seriously, SK wins this game. And then obviously looking at Dignitas Luminosity, unless Luminosity comes out of nowhere and has the best damn VOD review session that has ever happened in the history of any esports tonight, they're going to lose 3-0 quick games tomorrow against Dignitas. But you know, that's not ruling out they could have that VOD session from the gods and learn all the secrets to Smite. but I don't think that'll happen. So Dignitas gonna walk away with a pretty easy win. I want to see Dignitas kind of get weird with it and try to experiment with some maybe off meta stuff or some like, hey, we did this in a scrim once or twice and it kind of worked, but we don't know if it works. So let's try it and see if it does actually work and really kind of push the meta out a little bit and see what they can do. Maybe try some lower priority picks or something like that. So I know I say that, but I would also like, all right, we're gonna win. We're gonna win by 22 minutes. Let's go. And I would respect both moves, really, if they just go in and just try to crush them versus like, all right, let's try to experiment a little. And then on the other side, you know, United and SK should be a really interesting game. If this was a month down the road, I think it'd be a lot closer. But I think right now, SK is just going to be able to walk away with it. And that's just due to the nature of when they got there and them having some games under the belt. And just having more time together. That's really the determining factor right now. But I don't know. United, I'm not writing United off. I think they could win tomorrow, but I just don't expect them to. And that's that. That's it for our esports coverage for the SPL, for the SML. Not really certain what the future holds. Still lots of questions around the league. We're starting to learn and figure out where everybody's kind of placed, but it's still not quite there. We still haven't got everything figured out. So these games they're going to be important. Like these first kind of feeler games, especially between that mid-tier level of teams. Definitely if you watch only one set tomorrow, watch the SK United set, because that'll be really telling. I feel like that's going to be my games to watch tomorrow. And then and we got to wait for SML come Tuesday, and that's just a big long wait. I told you guys at the start of the show that I was going to look at trying to get some more interviews and stuff. I'll definitely work on that. You know, follow my Twitter at the Zach Dick for more up-to-date stuff on that, and I will let you guys know if I get anybody confirmed. When I get people, I can get people. If there's anybody that you guys would want me to get, just don't be afraid to at me or DM me. I think I've got open DMs at this point. And I'll see what I can do. You guys make the show. Can't do it without your viewership. So I definitely want to do what I can to appease you guys. And if there's a fan favorite that you guys want me to go out and do, I definitely want to get them and put them at the top of the list. But that's it for me. Anything else I do after this will probably just be meaningless vamping. And I just, you know, I'm not in the mood to just sit around and vamp today. There's not enough for me to talk about. The Smite community didn't implode on itself. That was good. And then competitive. I mean, I could always talk about how SSG is just oof. But Outcold is also oof. And I don't think they're getting enough flack for what they're doing on the other side, because I feel like people are just a little bit too scared to really call out, you know, Pretty Pime and Demi. And it's kind of like the SSG effect, right? Where not enough people are calling SSG out for their poor play either. But, you know, that's just me. I'm the unpopular opinion guy. So from everybody here at UGC, my name is LHS, and I will see you around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.